Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to thank you for taking the opportunity to listen in. We pray that all is well with you and your family as we continue to speak life into the brothers, to encourage the brothers, and to be able to continue just to bring a word of encouragement. And we talk about the issues of life as husbands, fathers, and sons, and the responsibilities that we are called to be as we lead in our families, as we lead in the church, and as we lead in the community. So I just want to continue to press in and to encourage you. Tonight we're going to be talking about patience versus restlessness. Restlessness. Amen. I got it right. I just got to, you know, slow down. Amen. And we're going to be coming from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. As we begin to just, again, we just want to hash some things out, talk about some things, and encourage you as we look at the deeper side of the Bible and how we are as men of God These are some of the character traits, some of the things that we have to think about. Where we are in Christ and our faith level and where we're growing and maturing, and hopefully that we can encourage you to move from milk to meat, and that we can activate these things and apply these things to our life, that we can live a life pleasing to God and be used by him to fulfill the great commission and spread the gospel and encourage one another. Amen. Elder Mark, good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Good evening, my brother. Good evening to you.
Amen. Amen. If you could, brother, could you open us up in prayer?
Amen. Amen. Glory to your name, O God. Father, we come before you as humbly as we know how, Lord God, with the praise upon our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord God, just thanking you for all that you are and all that you do, Lord God. Lifting your holy, magnificent name as we praise you as our King, our Savior, our Creator, Lord God. You are everything, Lord God, and we just thank you for looking upon us, Lord God, with favor, grace, and mercy and forgiveness, Lord God. We thank you for this time to join together once again, Lord God, to spend time diving deep into your word, Lord God, learning more of you and thus of ourselves, that we will learn about the call of men, Lord God, the walk of a true man, Lord God, that represents you, Lord God. It is our duty to stand as a representation of you in the midst of this dark world, so we thank you for this conversation, Lord God, that words would be said, Lord God, that would help shift the mind, change our heart, Lord God, and draw someone closer unto you, depending upon you, leaning upon you, and not their own understanding. And, Lord God, we just want to say thank you. We lift a hallelujah praise unto you for all that you are and all that you do. For today, yesterday, and tomorrow, continue your blessings and the abundance that you pour upon us as we just give you praise and say thank you. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And as always, I appreciate you joining us for this episode. For this evening, we're doing this on Friday, the 18th, because tomorrow morning we have our free men's breakfast at the Golden Corral in Arundel Mills, in the Arundel Mills Mall in Hanover, Maryland. For those who are locally in the D.C., Baltimore, Washington area, at the Golden Corral in Arundel Mills. At 7 a.m., the Men of Integrity Free Breakfast, sponsored by Pastor Jesse Young and the United Methodist Church Mighty Men's Ministry. Amen. So we encourage you to come out. And again, that's it's usually every fourth Saturday of every month. But however, there's been an update. We're doing it here on November the 19th, and then on December, they're doing it on December the 17th. And then in January of 2023, they'll be moving it back to the fourth Saturday. But the next event is on the 19th of November and December the 17th. So I encourage you to come out and be part of the fellowship and just be encouraged. Amen? Amen. And matter of fact, I just looked the flyer up. I wanted to encourage you. What the topic that's going to be discussed is, what does God want you to be in 5 years, and how are you going to get there? We have to all, I think that's a pretty good topic to encourage us. Where do you want to be in 5 years, and how are you going to get there? Because without a vision, we perish. And where we want to be, and do we want to grow from where we are? We should all want to grow in things of God, in the temporal realm, but mostly in the things of God. What more can we be doing to serve him and live obedient to him between who we are right now, no matter how long you've been saved, and where you're going to be in 5 years? How are you going to be serving the Lord? Amen? Amen. But I encourage you to come out and see the word is given for you and see and see what the word, what you get out of the word is going to be shared tomorrow. So we encourage you to join us 7 a.m., the Golden Corral and the Run the Mills. What are you saying, brother? Go ahead.
Oh, no, nothing. I was just saying amen. Just, you know, what you said, of course, just ties back into my own ministry, the New Vision for Life. We pride ourselves in learning and living by that scripture, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law.
Amen. That's right. There you go. That's the word. The word works for everybody. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to touch on a few things. Again, we're going to be talking about patience versus restlessness. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 7. But I want to share something with the brothers for your listening. I want to talk about humility. I was recently in a men's group in a discussion and prayer, and we talked about humility and what it means to be humble and how do we apply that. What does it look like? I want to share this with you real quick. You know, it says humility is having a modest opinion about our own importance. And that was our ice-breaking kickoff question. And I think every one of us need to think about that. Humility is having a modest opinion about our own importance. And, you know, it brought up so many things. A lot of brothers had a lot of opinions about that. And because the scripture tells us, real quick, I just want to touch on this. It says John in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5 and 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. And again, humility is having a modest opinion of your own importance. When we think about God, do we think of others more highly of ourselves than others, or do we think of others more highly of ourselves to the point where we can serve them, we can minister to them, we want to help? You know what I mean? Do we see that people are more important to us? What are we willing to sacrifice when it comes to the things of God in our lives as husbands and fathers and sons? To me, that's the definition of humility. To be a godly father, a godly husband, and a godly son, that we have to humble ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to have a modest opinion about our own importance. Oh, how else can we truly serve someone in love? Amen. So I just want to use that as an icebreaker. And what do you say, sir? I hear you back this. I'm gonna let you get the. What do you say, sir? We're talking about humility.
It just makes me think of, you know, how we're called, and especially as husbands, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We're called to literally to sacrifice ourselves for our wives, and that means sacrifice. And we talk about that not only did Christ gave his life, but he gave of himself. He gave of his own, what desires he could have had. I mean, he even said, God, if this isn't necessary, if it can be another way, let me find something, another way to do it. But, you know, the fact that when we talk about sacrificing for our wives, this truly, are you willing, my brother, are you willing to sit down and sacrifice when she needs you to do something, or are you going to say, hey, I'm busy watching the game? Or, I'd rather go hang out with my homeboys today because, you know, are we going to go shoot some hoops or something, or are we going bowling? Or, you know, for me, we going to the gun range. I don't have time to really sit around and talk to you right now. I don't have time to deal with what you're talking about. Or I don't have time to just be the husband you need me to be because I've already got plans to do something. You know, our willingness to give up our happiness is a sacrifice, and we're called to do that. As a father, you know, sometimes there's things you want to do that you can, it's gonna, you know, your kids need you to do something else. Pop, Daddy, I need you to take me here. Daddy, I need you to do this with me. Daddy, I want to just spend some time with you. But are you willing to give up your own self-interest, your own self-desires, to service, to help, to be there, to support, to just help someone else find the happiness they need to be with you? It's just, you know, I just think of loving someone else more than we love ourselves in that position. That's a humble place to be. That was all.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, brothers, like I say, these are things we just want to share with you, to encourage you. And then, again, as I always say here, it's your Christian Men's Talk. You know, we just want to shed some light. We want to stir your spirit, get you to think about the Word of God, how we apply the Word of God, and give application to what the Word is saying about us. Because if we are truly men of God, men of faith, we look to the Word of God for our guidance, directions, and then we measure our lives against the Word. We don't measure ourselves against ourselves. We measure ourselves against the Word of God and how well we are living a life pleasing to Him. Amen? Amen. So in that humility, just remember, humility is having a modest opinion about your own importance. Amen? Amen. So let's shift gears, brother. We're going to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about patience versus restlessness. If you would, sir, if you could read that Romans chapter 5 for me, verses 3 and 4, and then tell me, or share with you your insights on that, and what is the word saying to you?
All right. Well, I'm gonna read from two different versions to kind of give a little insight on what the word is telling us. So first, I'm gonna read the King James version, Romans chapter 5 verses 3 and 4, and it reads, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Now, I just want to share this with you. Also, in the New Living Translation, allow me 1 second to pull it up. The New Living Translation reads as such. "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, our confident hope of salvation." I specifically like how patience is translated as the word endurance. You know, we're going to go through some things. We're going to see some things. Patience or endurance is our ability to trust God in the situation, to lean on God and not try to work things for ourselves, to try to fix our own situations. You know, sometimes we have to just not be restless, but to rest, to just take the time to stand in the midst of the storm. Sometimes, you know, I've been learning and really, really recognizing, you know, the word says that all things will work for our good, but it doesn't say that all things will be comfortable. Sometimes things that are working for our good, we have to go through a storm to see the good, we have to go through a test for that to be a testimony. And for us to get through the test, we have to sometimes rest in the uncomfortable issues. We have to realize that God is moving and God is working and depend upon him. But you know what? I looked at the definition of restlessness, and it really made me recognize that's what it causes us to, when we're talking about patience compared to restlessness or endurance. Restlessness is discontent or dissatisfaction that drives one to keep looking for solutions, alternatives, or new things. If we're restless, if we're in that place where we can't let God move, we can't allow God to be God in our situation, we start looking for our own solutions. The word tells us, lean upon God, not lean upon our own understanding, but to acknowledge God in all of our ways, and he will make the path straight. So if we're trusting God, we know that God's going to make the path straight. God's going to line everything up. God's going to put everything in order. Just as the word says, all things are working out for our good. And everything getting in order and everything working out for our good, once again, it may not be comfortable. We have to trust that God is putting it in line for us. God has set a plan. God has a thing working out for us, has this thing working out where we are victorious because we're called victory. We're named overcomers. Just our endurance is our ability to go through a situation and still lean upon God and not lean upon our fleshly desires, not to fall back to our old ways, but to trust that in our salvation, God is working on us, working through us to take us to another height, to a greater place, to a greater understanding that we would have, which I love to call a new vision, a new understanding, a new perspective, that we can actually think different than the way we used to and trust him in all ways. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother, amen. You know, I agree with what you're saying, too, because that is we have to be able to trust God in the difficult situations, you know, and that endurance. Because it talks about, you know, when you said that when you was reading it, and it talks about that we want to persevere. We want to we want to persevere, not that only, but also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You know, in a difficult time. Let me say it like this, because all of you brothers that's listening, you've had difficult times. Think about the difficult things that God has brought you through. Because every level of every man's perseverance and difficulty is different, but the last time that God brought you through something, when you just had to wait, you had to be patient. Everything wasn't necessarily going your way, and it could be a lot of things. It could be your marriage, it could be your children, it could be your job situation, your finances. You know, we talk about finances. You know, to get out of debt. Once you come to the knowledge and understanding, and to getting yourself out of debt, doing what it takes to get out of debt, doing what it takes to stay out of debt, knowing that you can't just go out here and buy stuff or get credit cards or whatever, the thing that you know that's not gonna be good for you, and having patience when you want to get something, you know, having patience to save to buy things. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna say that credit and debt credit is bad, but are you mature? And are you disciplined enough to handle having credit? Because you could walk around with a credit card, you could have $50,000 of credit cards in your wallet, but are you disciplined enough to know when the purpose to have it and to use it? When you say it's for just emergencies, do you really mean that, or that when you see something on sale that you want right now? That's not discipline, mm-hmm. And that's where the patience comes in. And now, like I said, when it goes to finances. When you're short on money, when you could kind of get yourself out of debt to get your financial situation better, get your credit score up, all those things, are you patient in that situation and trusting God, learning the principles of saving, of the thing that God teaches in the Word of God about our finances and how we are to be good stewards of our resources and talents and time. So these are all the things that we have to talk about when we talk about between patience and versus restlessness. Because restlessness really, I looked it up, and it talks about it here, but it also says knowing that it produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. When we're restlessness, that means we don't have any hope. We're anxious, we're worrying, and then we get into a place where we think we need to do something. Because once we get anxious and get anxiety about a situation, no matter what it is, then we think we have to do something, or we have to do something that we're not listening to God, not trusting God. And then, brother, let me say this, because this came up recently when I was in a Bible study. I heard someone say this. It's that old cliche of let go and let God, which is not biblical. What we ought to do is to use wisdom and discernment in our situations and be led by the Holy Spirit on what is the next steps. You know, I think back to Abraham. I think back to Joseph. Remember, what was Joseph's dream to Pharaoh, or to Pharaoh? That there would be 7 years of fatness and 7 years of famine. That was God speaking to him to give him a plan that he would be able to store up for the years of famine. And then through that, those years of famine, that now his brothers would come to Egypt to get food when there was a famine in the land. This is the kind of thing we talk about. I mean, that's what I'm saying. These things are in the Word of God if we would study the Word of God and see what God is trying to teach us. What do you say, sir? I'm going to come back to you.
Yes, sir. Once again, we look at our situation and we start looking for solutions because God hasn't moved in the time we thought. You know, we don't have the patience. We don't have the patience to wait upon God to move. God's promises are his promises, and his word never changes. What has been spoken over you, you know, it's so many things that, you know, we've heard and have, words have been spoken over us, but then we get impatient, like, well, God, when's it going to happen? I mean, I think about my wife and I, things that we become, you start to question, God, did you really say that? Was that really the word we were supposed to hear? Did we hear the word too early? Was it given out of time? Did we mess up something? Or is God just saying, I need you to take one more step? I need one more step where you'll just wait upon me. I need you to just be patient. I need you to just rest in this place because I need you to absorb where you are so you can understand where I'm taking you can understand what I'm taking you through. You know, like Deacon Farr said, when we did our finances, sometimes it's easy to just grab that credit card and buy that pair of shoes that you've been looking at, you've been walking by the store you've been window shopping for, knowing you can't afford them, because when you spend the money on that credit card, you still got to pay that bill later, but now that bill comes at the same time as rent's due. So what are you going to do? You know, we have to be in a place where we recognize that the things we're going through are for a purpose and for a time. And the word said, you know, I don't want to make a cliche statement, but, you know, what we do.
And all right, bro. It's okay. Go ahead.
Man, I'm not even going to say that.
We could use cliches. We just have to hash them out. And connect them to the word. How about that? Because people throw cliches out there like they are the word, and then people, you know, they don't have the understanding. But go ahead.
Yeah, true, very true. I just want to express that, you know, we are victorious in all things. We are overcomers. Even the situations that feel like we're losing, God's setting us up for something better. Sometimes that thing that you want so bad, that you're asking God for, and he doesn't give, and then because you're impatient about receiving what you've been asking for, what you've been praying about, you go and move on it yourself, and then you realize the reason it didn't happen is because God didn't have it for you, because it was something that was going to tear you apart. It was something that was going to put you in a worse place than you already were. But because of impatience, because of restlessness, you decided you're discontent. You were driven to look for another solution, an alternative that was outside of God's will for you. We have to just be patient. We have to just trust God. And I know, you know, we're not speaking from a place of sometimes it's not hard for us to trust. I know Deacon Farr doesn't, and I certainly am not. You know, it's very hard sometimes when things are going on to trust and to believe and to just be idle. But that's what we have to do. We have to literally just be patient and rest in the place. Rest in the midst of the storm. Because if we move right now, we'll move beyond our blessing. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen, amen. You're listening to Issue Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr here with Elder Mark. And again, tonight we're talking about patience versus restlessness or anxiety or worry, or not being in a place where God can use us. You know, sometimes we have to learn to accept difficult situations from God without giving him a deadline to remove them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes we, you know, God, I'm willing to suffer, but not this long. Or God, you know, I'll sacrifice for you, but, you know, hopefully in 2 weeks you're going to put this thing together for me. You know, we put a deadline on what God is doing in our life. You know, in that scripture, because it says persevere, and perseverance, it builds character. It produces character, and character produces hope. And we have to get to a place where we have a hope in God, not when we think he should move, but when knowing that he will move, and we patiently wait and we endure. I think that's something that comes with our maturity. Can we endure the things, the difficulties, difficult situations? I mean, now I want to say this is not we're not part of the truly persecuted church, but even we feel like that with the things that we're going through, the trials, the tests, these things are real. They're real to us because they affect us. They affect our situation. We're concerned. We are hindered in what we're trying to do, or we can't get to the place we want to be, and it can weigh on us. But are we confident in the hope we have in God that he sees and knows our needs, and he's making a way out? He is preparing us. And then that grows our character. You know, our faith has to be tested and stretched. It really does. And now can we endure it so that we are stronger on the other side? Because, brothers, it's one of the things that we have to remember. all that we are and all that we go through and all that we, from the day you were a baby Christian to the time you first believed until we know wherever you are right now, there's someone behind you that you're going to be able to use to share your testimony, to share the things that you endured, that you can tell them that they're going to be okay, that you can help them stop from making those wrong choices or getting anxious or do something they shouldn't do trying to fix the situation because you have a testimony and survived it. That's why, as when I say about men's ministry and the time that men spend together in fellowship and in real conversation, we can encourage one another through the circumstances of this life, of the circumstances in our marriages and raising our kids, in our job situation, even the things that are going on in our communities. Can we be level-headed and bring wisdom and discernment to all of these things? And when I say this, too, because when we talk about the culture and men of God, we cannot forget this is a sinful and fallen world, and the sinners will do what sinners will do. And so all these things, I mean, we pray, but remember, this is a sinful world. These human beings deserve the wrath of God because of their disobedience. They are sinful by nature. They're flesh, and people are living in the flesh. But us, as salt and light in these communities, can pray. We can. God can use us to bring light and salt into these dark places, into these situations. You know, I think back, brother, when we was doing the prayer walk in the communities, and that mm-hmm. light that we brought. You know what I'm saying? So this is where we need to be when it comes to what we're talking about, being that salt and light and learning to endure through some things so that we can share with others. I mean, you know, if you look back over our lives, the communities we were raised, the neighborhoods we were raised, and how we endured and the things we did to change our circumstance and situation, no matter where it was, you know, but then we can encourage the next brother. We can encourage young couples. We can encourage young men who don't know. You know, everybody's not getting a college scholarship. Everybody's not going to college. But we got to give them options and other things from those of us who didn't go to college. You know, we like to talk about college a lot for young people, but if we be honest, we need to worry about the ones who that's not in their future. Because, you know, I think right. back now, I'm at this age, and I think back, there was a lot of smart kids in high school, and then we can come to realize they didn't all go to college because college costs money, you know, because I'm 60, and I remember high school, there was a lot of kids. They was honor roll kids. There was all these things, but, you know, we look back over our lives, and they didn't all go to college. They got jobs. They had success, but college wasn't a thing because, it wasn't a thing, but they were still able. We could still be able to be successful. Excuse me, I just want to say that. Our children can still be able to be successful without going to necessarily go into college, but get a skill and a trade. But I used to tell brothers all the time, we were just young men. We used to talk to youth ministry. You got to get a skill and a talent that somebody's willing to pay you for. No matter whatever it is, you have to develop a skill and a talent that somebody's going to pay you for that you can take care of yourself. What do you say, brother? I'm going, but I'm going to come to you. And what do you say?
Amen. Well, yeah, you know, it's when you talk about it touched a nerve, I guess, for lack of a term, when you said about college. You know, I'm one of the ones who went to college, and after some things going on in life, I'm not in the profession that I went to school for. I went to school for criminal justice, but I'm a facility manager. I'm a facility operator, so it's I'm in a completely different realm, but it was something a trade that I learned from working with my father, working with my uncles. You know, I learned the construction and building maintenance and those type of things. I learned, so you know, yes, you have to pick up a trade. Sometimes I look at those student loans like, oh my goodness, but that's a whole nother conversation. But you know, I think the place that you learn from that is you can be in that patience and endurance. You find a level of stability in whatever you do find, wherever you do find yourself. whether it's in a trade, whether it's going to school, you find a level of stability, whereas in restlessness, that's like an instability. That's where you're jittery, you're nervous about everything. You're uneasy because you can't rest in the situation that you're in. You can't stand being where you are, so you feel like I've got to make a move. Whereas though when you're patient, when you're enduring, you can go through. I mean, endurance. You're training to go through the race, not to give up the race and jump into something else. You're literally training. You're building your endurance so that you can stick it out, so that you can keep on pushing even though the pressure, even though the pain, even though you're going through. That's the point of endurance, is so that you have the ability to stand strong when it gets tough. But if you don't have endurance, if you don't have the patience, the endurance to go through the race, you'll give up before you can even have a chance to win. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. So, gentlemen, you know, that's just one of the things that we want to encourage you in. I know there's a lot can be said. Again, if you called in tonight at 646-668-2636, you press 1 and you keep out, we can bring you in for the conversation. I see you on the switchboard. I appreciate you. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we appreciate you there, too. If you got the link in your text, you got the link on your from the Facebook page, Issue of Christian Men's Talk, thank you. Thank you for joining. We pray that something was said that would encourage you, and we ask you that you would share these conversations or these topics to be able to encourage your brothers around you, those in your circle of influence, those you might be ministering or discipling, and touch upon some of the topics and things that we're talking about here. Amen? Amen. So, you know, and I wanted to share one more thing about this because I'm going to shift gears real quick, but I do want to also say, you know, we have to remember that character is it's something that has to be tested. It's two things. Character has to be tested, and then character has to be purified. We have to get to a place where our character, we have a godly character. And the only way we can do that, because we can say that we are something until the time and the test come, because nothing you don't know. Let me say it like this: you don't know the strength or the purity of anything until it's tested. And that goes from you know, if you're building something, you're building a foundation, you lay in concrete, you're framing up something. When it comes to carpentry or whatever, or even in gold. When we're talking about gold and silver, the gold and silver has to be tested and put through a test of fire and melted and to see how pure it is and to get the impurities out. And we have to remember that's what our character is. Because, again, we all deserve hell. But through Jesus Christ, through faith and through sanctification, God starts to purify and take out those things that are in us and purging those things out. And that comes along by tests and trials and tribulation, and it's a testing, because we don't want to be, you know, we say it, we're not who we used to be, but the only way you can say that is because you've been tested, and your choices were different, and you passed the test. Because sometimes we get tested in the same area, and we still make the same mistakes, or we don't choose the godly way. We choose a less sinful way, if that's the thing. Amen? But do we choose the righteous way? Because we have to get to the point where we choose we think it's the less sinful way, because it's not what you really want to do, but it really is not God, but it's better than what you could have done before. You know what I'm saying? So, brothers, however that needs to be applied, I ask you to apply it to that. But we're talking about character, a proven character as a Christian man, our Christian character. Brother, I'm going to go real quick. If you would, flip to James chapter 1. And then I'm going to get your thoughts on it. Because it says James chapter 1, and we're going to go to, I think it's verse 3. Let me flip here. I got a paper Bible because I don't have my computer turned on. But because I think I just thought of the scripture, I'll make sure I'm in the right place of what I want to say here. It's James chapter 1, verse number 3. And the word says, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. For if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberty and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, you know, that's profiting. Our trials profit us because it grows us. And that's what we have to be willing to endure and then make the right choices and make better choices at every time that we are tested, that we make a more godly choice, if I can say that. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's like we just as you know we've been discussing. You have to go through some things. Like I made the statement before. You know, it may not be comfortable, but you got to go through the storm. Going through the storm will take you to a place where you lean upon God. That's where your faith is tested. When you're going through a situation where you don't see the outcome, you don't understand what's going on, you don't know it, but your faith. You're trusting that God is moving on your situation, that God is a wise God. God is a generous God, and he will give to you what you need. He'll continue to take you through so you can walk, you can come out on the other side victorious. It doesn't say you won't have to fight. The word doesn't say you won't have to fight. As a matter of fact, it says we are counted for counted like sheep for the slaughter. So we're going to go through some issues. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some pain. We're going to go through some, I don't want anyone to think or believe that when you come to salvation, it's all of a sudden going to be white picket fences and you know, and birds chirping and just this, you know, clear summer day that you'll never see another storm. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to get tested. You're going to go through some pain. You're going to suffer. But in that, you can lean upon God in the midst of all of that. That's what our salvation is. That's what God's promises are, is that while you're going through this earthly journey, he will stand with you. And that your reward is eternity in heaven with him for believing and trusting in him and knowing that he is your Savior and Creator. We're going to be tested. It's no way to avoid that we're going to go through a situation. But we go through a situation a lot stronger in a different manner, and we are able to walk through that. We're able to stand in the midst of that when we lean upon God and not upon our own flesh. I just think, you know, I think back on my life before salvation. I think back on my life when I thought I was saved, but I didn't know God. You know, I believe God was my Savior. I believe God was a creator, but I didn't have a relationship where I depended upon him. Because when I prayed, it wasn't to say thank you, God, for what you've already done and what you continue to do. It was God, I need. I didn't have the patience. I didn't have the mindset to go through some things and trust that God was moving. I always had to pick it up for myself. You know, it's a place where we have to get to the understanding that when we take it to God, when we take it to the altar, we can leave it there. When we take something to the altar, when we put it in God's hands, we're supposed to leave it there and stop trying to be God. That's one of my prayers every day, that I would give up the desire to be God in my own life and allow God to be God. Allow God to be the one that's moving on my life. Allow God to be the one that takes me through these situations that I'm going to face. Not that he's going to spare me from facing them, but he'll take me through those situations so that I have a testimony not only for myself, but something that I can share with somebody else, because they'll see that God has strength to bring me through, and I'm not anyone special, so God can also bring them through. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, you know, again, this has been Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. I want to share something with you. Before we go, though, I just want to touch on one thing, because I want to speak directly to my married brothers out there. When we talk about marriage, we talk about a relationship. Remember, our marriage is a reflection of God's relationship with Jesus Christ and his church, because he calls the church the bride of Christ. And when we're talking about patience, tolerating, enduring, persevering in marriage, that we could do a whole show on that. But as men of God, that's what we need to be. No matter what, and I want to say this, a brother may be listening, whatever's going on in your marriage, that you're being tested. But that test is going to make your marriage stronger. Because remember, I'm going to say this, that all the things that you go through in your marriage with your wife, or if I know some women sneak in and listen to this, but even with your spouse, you should draw closer to God and closer to each other to strengthen your marriage. Don't let the things of this world, the issues of life, the trials, and all those things be something that separates you, but it should draw you closer together and closer to God. Because it's all a test. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm going to let me be the one to tell you, you did not marry a perfect person. You didn't marry a person who got it all together. I know you might have thought it, you did, but I'm telling you, you didn't. So prepare yourself. Amen? Because being restless and anxious and worried in marriage, those are the things, those are the little foxes, those are the things that can start to wear and tear on your marriage and marital relationship and break it down. And this is what, and remember, the enemy's job is to kill, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. And marriage is one of the things he comes after. And because, you know, I've known couples, I've known couples, and I've seen the enemy come and try and destroy them, new marriages and old marriages. So I just wanted to put that out there and share. Bro, if you would, what's your insight on that? Because, you know, marriage is one of those things we have to always be prayerful and mindful of and continue to pray for every married couple we know. Just keep them in prayer before God that whatever they need, that God is going to send into that relationship. What do you say, sir?
You know, I like what you said about not being perfect, that no, there's no perfect person out there. And I told my wife earlier today, I was thanking God for her being perfectly imperfect for me. You know, we, our wives are our helpmeet. They are the ones that are supposed to be with us, to stand with us. They are, and I explained this, and I mentioned this, you know, in our last gathering, our wives are truly what complete us because we are missing a part of us. We are missing a rib without our wife. And when we have our wife, we have another part of our body. We have our complete body. We have everything that God has promised that we need to sustain life. And we have to recognize that she is a queen. She is the one God put beside you so that you can stand strong as a king. And you're going to go through some times where it feels like there's everything about your relationship is trying to tear you guys apart, whether it be your finances, whether it be the children, the way one decides they should discipline disagrees with the other one. It could your family, your outside, but recognize that God puts you together for a reason. God puts you together for a place of victory for both of you. And if you lean upon God, if you're just patient to go through this situation and recognize God is continually moving and depend upon God and do so together. You know, the strongest part of marriage is a tribe-rated core where it's you, your wife, and God intertwined together. No man, nothing can break that apart. And you can lean and trust God that he won't leave you or forsake you, and he'll continue to take you through whatever situation you may be facing. Sometimes it feels like walking out the door is the best way to go. But a lot of times we have to go through some tests with each other so that we're both strengthened together to stand strong and lean upon one another as we trust God. So I just implore you men that are listening, women that, like he said, Deacon Forrest said, may have snuck on a listen. If you're going through something in your marriage, take the time to pray together. Take the time to just ask each other, what can I pray for you on? What can I take to God on your behalf? You'd be amazed at what walls come down when you ask your spouse, what can you pray for them? What can you pray for them about today? Because you are no longer trying to be the one that fixes it, but you're trying to be the one that takes their situation to God on their behalf. Do something different. Lean upon God. Stand together. And these arguments, these issues that you may face will soon dwindle and disappear because your trust, your commitment, all that will build when you lean upon God and just be patient and recognize that God is moving on your behalf, through you, in you, around you, because you are forced to be reckoned with in the kingdom that the enemy does not want to succeed. So once again, I just implore you, trust God, lean upon God, and in the midst of the storm, he will take you through. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Amen. I appreciate that. Well, brothers, we're gonna come to a close on this segment, on this episode. I pray that something was said that would encourage you and continue to press in and press on in God, to seek God for yourself. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to study your word. I encourage you to fellowship with the brethren. We're coming on the end of the year. We're coming through the holidays and all that. We're coming into 2023. God's got a plan. God's going to do something new. You know, he's brought us through. It's something I said at our men's fellowship gathering. You're still here. We're still here. And all that went on in these last couple of years with the COVID and the deaths, and, you know, it got to the point where they were counting every day, they were counting the dead people. But if you're in the sound of my voice right now, we're still here. And God has a plan. And God brought us through. Even that whole COVID situation is a testimony. You know, there's a testimony there that God seen us through. You know, you live long enough in the next 30 years, you could say you was a COVID pandemic survivor. You ain't get no T-shirt, but you can say, I lived through that thing. So, you know, just like our grandparents and our great-grandparents lived through, you know, Depression, World War I, World War II, all the stuff that went on in history that we read in the history books, now we're part of history that we endured through something that had a worldwide effect. You know what I mean? So thank God that we're here with the church, and there's still a call and a purpose on the church. The church has a call. We individually as Christian believers have a call and a purpose. We just need to be obedient and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the men of God in our lives, women of God in our lives, and start to be the church outside the four walls, reaching the community, reaching lives, making a difference for widows and orphans, for those who are struggling, to bring the love and the grace and the mercy of God to people. Because remember, all of Scripture, God has always used his people to spread his gospel. His people to spread his gospel. And if you are a man of faith, God's going to use you, because there's a soul out there that's tied to you and tied to your faith and salvation, that you might bring them to the understanding and the truth of God. Amen. Elder, again, I appreciate you, brother, for hanging in there and being faithful to it. If you could, sir, you can close us out in prayer and share any last words on your heart. And brothers, stay tuned. Our next episode's coming up. And again, we have the men's breakfast on the next one will be in December. It'll be on where'd the paper go? Whoop, there it is right there. Hold on. December 17th, and then in 2023, every fourth Saturday at the Golden Corral and Arundel Mills. Brother, I appreciate you, and thank you so much.
Amen, amen, my brother. I appreciate you as well. Thank you for taking the time to allow me to join with you, taking the time to just do what you've been doing, man. My hat's off to you. I just recognize you, your ministry, touching the hearts of men, reaching out to men, just doing something different, that we're outside the four walls trying to reach men where they are, to talk to men about changing lives, about doing something different. So I thank God for you. It's an honor to stand with you. To you gentlemen listening, to you men listening, I want you to always understand, as we continue to say, nothing is said here from a platform that we think we're not going through life as well. We're still going through our issues, and God is not finished with us yet. God is working on us all. So please remember that everything here that was said today was from a place that we're all committed to growing with each other. Please join us again, as Deacon Forrest said, as we'll continue to reach out, continue to have more discussions. Look forward to those that are able to join live with us
on these Saturday mornings, and just spend some time to discuss, to converse, to build on one another, because iron truly does sharpen iron. Father God, we honor you and we bless you. We thank you for yet another opportunity, Lord God, to spend time in your word, Lord God, to spend time to just converse and talk about you, Lord God, and what it means to walk as a man representing you, representing you in the midst of this dark world. We thank you that you consider us worthy to use us, Lord God, for the building of your kingdom and your people, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that a word that was said tonight was not only a good word, but a word that does some good in the hearts and minds of the men that were able to hear, those that will come back and listen in the archives or in later playing the video, radio show later on in some shape or form. We just thank you, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you do, for your continued blessings, your grace, your mercy, and your favor being upon us in the abundance that is you and you alone. We honor you and thank you and praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Mount a bone.